you so much for the Word of God. Lord, I don't know what we would do without it, because your Word is our guide. It's our test. It's the standard by which we hold everything up. You've given us the Word, Lord, not only to encourage us, but to correct us, to help us grow and mature. And Father, I just pray that this morning, as we speak about a very popular form of exercise that has swept our country, that, Lord God, you would speak to hearts of people. Help me today, Lord. I need your help as always. But Father, your people, we're your people. Speak to our hearts. Don't let us be fooled. Open our eyes that we may see the truth of what is really behind what is called Christian yoga today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. One thing that has become crystal clear in this Gates of Hell series are the attempts by those who profess Christianity to incorporate forbidden occult practices into the church. What has fooled many well-meaning Christians who sincerely desire a closer walk with God, is that these practices are cloaked in Scripture and labeled as Christian. This is true with contemplative prayer, where believers are deceived into thinking that if they follow certain practices, they can enter into God's presence. It is also true with yoga, where believers are deceived into thinking that the physical part of yoga will help them develop a healthier body without any spiritual danger. And this morning, in order to uncover the truth regarding yoga exercises, we have to begin with what is yoga, true yoga. So let's begin with its description. Biblical Discernment Ministries had this article titled Yoga Relaxation or Occult. Very good brief definition of yoga. This is what they said. Yoga is from the Sanskrit word yug. Now, Sanskrit is the primary sacred language of Hinduism. So that's the base, the root. Yug means union. Union with the divine, your higher self. Yoga is a path to go beyond the limits of the ordinary mind, in other words, who you think you are, in order to merge with your higher self, or God self. Yoga means to yoke with Brahman. Brahman is the infinite, the universalist spirit, the impersonal force the Hindus call God. They do this via the realization of an altered state of consciousness, thereby theoretically releasing oneself from the endless bondage of reincarnation. That's the purpose of yoga. Yoga comes out of the Hindu Vedas, which is the oldest scriptures of Hinduism, and it can be traced back to a religious leader called Patanjali. Shiva, one of Hinduism's three most powerful gods, was known as the Destroyer. He's called Yogeshwari, or the Lord of Yoga. Now, regardless of what we think in the West, a Hindu god is associated with yoga. You got to get that clear. To miss that point is to miss everything. According to Webster's New 20th Century Dictionary, this is how they define yoga: a practice involving intense and complete concentration upon something, especially deity. Especially deity. See, even the dictionary has got it right. In order to establish identity of consciousness with the object of concentration, it is a mystic and aesthetic or self-disciplined practice, usually involving the discipline of prescribed postures and controlled breathing. Now let's look at its purpose. Its purpose. This is what is so deceptive. Now, an article on yoga by Dr. John Ankerberg and Dr. John Weldon says this about yoga. The physical exercises of yoga are believed to prevent disease and maintain health through bodily regulation of prana, or mystical life energy. Furthermore, because the body is viewed as a crude layer of mind, various manipulations of the physical body can affect the mind, bringing alleged enlightenment. In Hindu mythology, this is so important, the serpent goddess Kundalini rests at the base of the spine and is aroused by yoga practice, travels up the spine while regulating this prana, this mystical life energy, and opening the body's alleged psychic centers, which are called chakras, finally reaching the top chakra or the crown, permitting the merger of Shiva, Shakti, and occult enlightenment. Now, in yogic culture, Shiva is not a god. He was the first guru, the first yogi. This man, Shiva, expounded various types of yoga depending upon the level of preparedness to the person he was teaching. Shakti means empowerment. It speaks of cosmic energy and represents the forces that move through the universe according to Hindu culture. Shakti is the concept of divine, feminine, creative power, sometimes referred to as the great divine mother in Hinduism. A Lighthouse Trails article by Chris Lawson titled "Yoga and Christianity, Are They Compatible?" wrote about an internationally recognized occult authority, Hans Ulrich Reicher, describes the total role Kundalini plays. Remember, Kundalini is the Hindu goddess at the base of the spine. He describes the vital role this Kundalini plays in yoga when he states, "Kundalini is the mainstay of all yoga practice." Okay. Now, born as Chimroy Kumar Ghosh, this Shri Chimroy was an Indian spiritual master. He was a spirit medium, if you will. Everything we've been talking about in the past. He's an occultist and an interfaith guru. He taught yoga in the West from the time he moved to New York City in 1964, and since then, he has produced prayers and meditations and all sorts of musical and artistic works. Now, this Chimroy likened Kundalini arousal, that's various stages of demonic possession, because that is in truth what it is, okay, to a game that is to be played between Shakti, the mother power, I just explained that to you, she's a Hindu goddess, and the person who seeks to manifest this Kundalini power. The power and force that Chimroy encourages people to play with is in actuality, in many varying religious contexts, demonic spirits or fallen angels that masquerade as the Mother Supreme Kundalini. Now remember, scripture is clear. Demons are behind idols and false gods. So anyone trying to arouse any form of any religious god is actually dealing with demonic entities. So we must be absolutely clear on that as we continue discussing yoga. Now here, this Chimroy went on to say, "Here in the West, there are many who feel that the powers of Kundalini yoga," that's the serpent, that's that goddess, that Hindu goddess, "are nothing but rank superstition." He said, "I wish to say that those who cherish this idea are totally mistaken. Even the genuine spiritual masters have examined Kundalini yoga and found in their own experiences the undeniable authenticity of its hidden occult powers." This is first-hand testimony that it is not something to be played with that it really works. Now, remember, when we were looking at other messages in this series, in dealing with occult practices, the reason God says not to get involved with this is because it works. It does work. And what happens is the believer opens themselves up as they engage in these various practices to demonic entities that can manifest themselves in very different ways, even angels of light. I don't know if we'll get to it today, but we have testimony from people who innocently engaged in yoga only as a physical exercise and even lost their lives because of demonic activity. Now let's take a quick look at its influence in our culture. You heard Carol say this is growing. Ankerberg's article continued and said, "For millions of Americans, yoga is a popular pastime." You see? That's what it is. It's a pastime. That's the deception. And I was listening to what Carol shared. Even though she was an instructor, she had no idea what yoga was about, what she was getting into. And I will guarantee you that is probably how most people who are engaged in yoga or Christian yoga have no idea what they're getting into. And that's the problem. That's the problem. Yoga classes, the article said, are regularly offered by the YMCA, the YWCA, in New Age and business seminars on TV, and that is so true. I have seen commercial after commercial where corporations, some of the biggest corporations in America, are promoting yoga for relaxation and well-being for their employees. In New Age and business seminars, and here's the part that just tears me apart, and in church programs. It's being offered in church programs. Here the claim is often made that yoga practice is not religious and that members of any faith or persuasion can benefit from a yoga program. For example, several books attempt to integrate yoga practice and Christian faith. Promoters make such claims as yoga and Christianity are founded on a similar base of wisdom. More and more health professionals are now advocating yoga as a safe and effective method for physical and mental health. Dr. Norman Shealy, who was taught at Harvard and is founder of the American Holistic Medical Association, recommends Hatha Yoga. That's the most popular form. Hatha Yoga is body control and meditation, along with the power of crystals as an essential component of national health programs of the near future. Ankerberg continued, "A modern alternate health guide claims that all chronic diseases are specially amenable to yoga treatment. The guide asserts that illnesses responding to yoga include asthma, backache, arthritis, bronchitis, high blood pressure, obesity, nervous disorders, constipation, and others. The chief value of yoga, therefore, is what? The prevention of illness." That's what we're being told. You see, that's what the masses are being told. And Ankerberg said, "With claims like this widely circulated and a growing health care crisis, it is no wonder yoga is extensively practiced in America today." I want you to just see its growth now. In that Lighthouse Trails article by Chris Lawson that I mentioned earlier, "Are Yoga and Christianity Compatible?" it said, "To illustrate the magnitude of the yoga explosion, consider yoga's journal, Yoga in American Study 2012. The study reveals some incredible statistics. 20.4 million Americans practice yoga, compared to 15.8 million from the previous 2008 study." Now, this is 2.5 years ago. "Practitioners spend $10.3 billion a year on yoga classes and products. The previous estimate from the 2008 study was about $5.7 billion. This is the hard part to grasp, for me at least. Of current non-practitioners, those are folks who do not practice yoga, 44% of Americans call themselves aspirational yogas. In other words, people who are interested in beginning yoga. So in other words, the amount of Americans who practice yoga increased nearly 30% from 2008 to 2012. I don't know what, I couldn't find statistics as of today, but undoubtedly it has increased even beyond that. And even worse, 44% of all Americans were looking to start some form of yoga. A December 2013 article titled 2014 Outlook for the Pilates and Yoga Studios Industries said, according to a paper by Ibis World in April of 2012, yoga grew for its eighth straight year, and 2014 will continue strong growth as studios continue to expand into new regions of the country. Furthermore, men and baby boomers will continue to drive growth as they aspire to become yogis. And so every place you read, this is just growing almost out of control. A Lighthouse Trails article from Eternal Path titled Yoga Practice Grows at an Unprecedented Rate said that 35 million Americans will try yoga for the first time this year. 35 million. Once confined to those interested in Eastern spirituality, yoga is catching on among fitness fanatics, aging baby boomers, and other unlikely enthusiasts who claim the mind-body practice does everything from heal illness to tighten abs. Now, I'd like to show you the various kinds of yoga according to the Index of Cults and New Religions. They list, I believe it's about 8, 2, 4, 6, 7 different types of yoga. There's karma yoga. Karma yoga is a spiritual union through correct conduct. There's bhakti yoga, that's spiritual union through the devotion to a guru. There's vana yoga, spiritual union through hidden knowledge. There's raja yoga, that's spiritual union through mental control. There's hatha yoga, that's what I mentioned earlier, is the most popular form. That's spiritual union through body control and meditation. There's kundalini yoga, we mentioned that also. That's spiritual union through inner energy. And there's tantra yoga, of all things, spiritual union through sexual practices. And so you have this yoga, and I wanted you to note, please, that in every form of yoga, spiritual union is the ultimate goal. Spiritual union is the ultimate goal. Okay. That's true yoga. That's true yoga. So what does the church say? What's the church's response to this? Are they preparing their people so that they're not engaging in something they shouldn't? Quite the contrary. Quite the contrary. As a matter of fact, they say it's okay for Christians. An article from Christian Research Network, CRN, titled Christian Yoga Rooted in Hindu Occultism, said this. Even more daunting than the documented warnings and hazards of yoga is the fact that many Christians are teaching Christian yoga. It seems that relabeling yoga as yoga for Christians has given people the green light to bow down and do yoga for Yahweh. One wonders, though, which Jesus these people have come to worship. A Jesus who allows Christians to integrate pagan occultism into Christian worship is not the Jesus of Scripture. 2 Corinthians 11:4, Paul wrote this to the church in Corinth. You happily put up with whatever anyone tells you, even if they preach a different Jesus than the one we preach, or a different kind of spirit than the one you received, or a different kind of gospel than the one you believe. The part that really got me in that verse is the very beginning. You happily put up with what anyone tells you. You see, the bottom line here is the church itself is promoting the practice of yoga and relabeled it Christian. Relabeled it Christian. The article listed just a few of the names Christians are promoting yoga with. I just want you to see them, so I put it up there. Christian yoga exercise, stretched out in worship, Yahweh yoga, holy yoga, body prayer, Christ-centered yoga, sunlight yoga, new day yoga, yoga from a Christian perspective, Trinity yoga, that was the best, Trinity yoga, yoga for all of humanity, yoga devotion, prayer of the breath and body, grounded in yoga, be still yoga, and the list goes on and on and on. Just about every name you could think of has been incorporated into the Christian umbrella of acceptable practices. So the church's first response is, it's okay. It's okay. If you go to Google a website and just look for churches that promote yoga, I think you'd be astounded. They also say it's simply just a form of exercise. A Lighthouse Trails article from Youth Specialties President Mark Ostreicher said this about yoga. He said, yoga is really just about stretching and slowing down. Sure, yoga, I suppose, could focus on Hindu or Buddhist gods or something, but it can also focus on Christ. We received a couple of stomping mad complaints about the yoga at the National Pastors Convention, saying putting your body in those positions invites Hindu gods to enter your body. I'm sorry, he said. This just sounds like heresy to me. If we don't believe Hindu gods actually exist, then why are we concerned about them entering our bodies? I wonder if this man ever read the Bible. Ever saw what God said about demonic entities, about idols? He couldn't have. Because to do so, you could not make, as a believer, a comment like this. We should be concerned about these so-called Hindu gods because they're actually deceiving spirits. Actually, they are demonic. 1 Timothy 4:1, what did Paul say? The Spirit clearly says that in latter times, some will abandon the faith and follow who? Deceiving spirits and things taught by demons. Deuteronomy 18:9. When you enter the land, this was God's warning to his people. When you enter the land which the Lord your God gives you, you shall not learn to imitate the detestable things of those nations. Talk about heresy. This Youth Specialties president said, in a separate article, this Mark Ostreicher said, Christianity is an Eastern religion. That almost floored me when I read that. He said it has all its roots in the East. He said it's a bit baffling to me that people lose sight of this and insist on creating a false separation between Eastern religions and apparently Western Christianity. You know, I'm really trying to be kind. I just don't understand how anybody could make a statement like that. I really don't. I try to give the benefit of the doubt, but this is so far on another planet that I just cannot see how we could say Christianity is an Eastern religion. Yet, according to all of my research, as I see the church merging in the interfaith movement and following more and more Eastern practices, somebody must be believing people like him who say it's an Eastern religion. Now, even worse, they say it's a worship tool. Christian yoga is a worship tool. The following is from the Holy Yoga website. You could go to that website yourself. I give you all the information. Go research it on your own. if you think we're stretching the truth a bit here. Holy yoga, this is what the article read. Holy yoga was created to introduce physical worship of the Lord through prayer. Breath work and movement to all seekers and believers in Jesus Christ, regardless of denomination. The purpose of the ministry is to introduce people to yoga as a form of collective mind, body, and spirit worship, as well as certifying teachers through the Registered Yoga School of Holy Yoga to facilitate Christ-centered classes in their individual churches, studios, and community spaces. The article said, our sole purpose at Holy Yoga is to introduce people to a unique and powerful yoga experience centered on our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To deepen the experience, Holy Yoga classes are practiced to contemporary motivational Christian music. They say, yoga is not a religion. It is a practice of mind and body control. When led by scripture, prayer, and worship poses, it is a practice that encourages patience and cultivates an understanding of what God can manifest in our physical and emotional bodies. So this is where church and believers are saying that yoga, Christian yoga, is a worship tool. But here's God's response to yoga as a worship tool. Deuteronomy 12, 2 through 4. When you drive out the nations that live there, you must destroy all the places where they worship their gods. High on the mountains, up on the hills, under every green tree, break down their altars, smash their sacred pillars, burn their Asherah poles, cut down their carved idols, completely erase the name of their gods, not rename them, not embrace them, not follow the practice. Verse 4, do not worship the Lord your God in the way these pagan people worship their gods. That couldn't be clearer. We do not worship the God of our Bible through meditative techniques of hatha yoga or any other kind of yoga. Philippians 3:3, for it is we who are the circumcision, we who worship by the Spirit of God, who glory in Christ Jesus and put no confidence in the flesh. Now, I just want you to just look at the big picture for a moment. We see that real yoga, true yoga, is a spiritual union of the person to the God within. It has everything to do with a spiritual oneness, connecting with this Brahman God. And then we have the church who comes along and endorses Christian yoga because they've changed some names, added some scripture, threw some different music in there. And note that they graduated from where it was strictly a physical tool to now it's a worship tool as well. We are following in the exact footsteps of Hinduism. You see that connection? We go from a physical exercise now to worship. Well, I think it's really important to understand, what do the Hindus say about this? What does the Hindu say about Christian yoga? And make no mistake, the Hindus say yoga is Hindu. It's Hindu. Lighthouse Trails posted an article by a Hindu professor, Subhah Tiwari, who said this: the simple immutable fact is that yoga originated from the Vedic or Hindu culture. Its techniques were not adopted by Hinduism, but originated from it. Efforts to separate yoga from its spiritual center reveal ignorance of the goal of yoga. If this attempt to co-opt yoga into their Christianity continues, in several decades of spinning the untruth as truth through relabeling such as Christian yoga, who will know that yoga is or was part of Hindu culture? It's like changing the history books. Now, Many of you are familiar with Carol Matriciana. She was the tea speaker here in May. Well, Lighthouse Trails had an article by her titled Christian Yoga. And the article referred to a Time magazine article that revealed this. They said yoga purists, those are the Hindus, are bothered by the idea of Christian yoga, saying that Hinduism is not like a recipe ingredient that can be extracted from yoga. At the Hindu University of America in Orlando, Florida, professor of yoga philosophy and meditation states, yoga is Hinduism. He said this, yoga has entered the Christian church through the notion that it is all right to adapt the Hindu practice of yoga by using Christian terms and concepts as long as only the exercise or practice without meditation. Yoga is safe. Neither notion could be further from the truth. Former Hindu guru Rabbi Maharaj, in his autobiography, Death of a Guru, states, no part of yoga can be separated from the philosophy behind it. No part of yoga can be separated from the philosophy behind it. Hinduism is totally incompatible with genuine biblical Christianity. The two cannot be absorbed into one. There simply cannot be any such thing as Christian yoga. Now, I find it so interesting to note that the Hindus recognize the incompatibility of yoga with Christianity, but the Christians don't. What's wrong? Is there something wrong with that picture? You know, this is kind of like going to a Hindu temple where they have their gods posted all over the outside walls and the inside. You'll see statue after statue of different Hindu gods, and we go in there and we put a Bible verse or two up on the walls and then come outside and put a little sign up that says church. That's exactly what we're doing. You say this is crazy. Yeah, it is, but it's happening. This would be like taking the Quran and putting a few verses from our Bible in there and then putting Christian Bible on the cover. You say, that's crazy. And I would say, yes, it is. But it's already happening. Islam is merging with Christianity. In church services, the Quran is being read with the Bible. This is happening. This is happening. And yet churches won't speak about it. I don't get that. I really don't understand why the church is so silent on this. Does anybody ever research anything? Are we that gullible that we are willing to believe anything from anyone just because they throw a Christian label on something? I'm puzzled. I'm completely puzzled. I don't understand it. Men and women who should know better are being deceived. And when you try to explain certain things to certain folks about the devotional book they're reading or the prayer labyrinth or these breath prayers, that it's occult in practice, they just simply don't want to hear it. They don't want to hear it. I don't get it. I'm puzzled. The only thing I could imagine in my feeble little mind is that to find out that you're either in a wrong church or you're following a wrong practice is an admittance of I've been deceived, I'm not smart, or I have failed, or I'm not a good Christian. I don't know. I don't know what it is. But see, if we just push it aside and we don't look at the truth, then it's okay to continue in the practice. And that apparently is what a lot of folks want to do. I don't get that. Don't you want to know the truth? Isn't it the church's responsibility to educate the people so that we could follow Christ's instructions when Jesus said, do not participate in evil deeds of darkness, but rather expose them? Does that mean anything? You have told me stories yourselves of how people do not want to hear it. And some get downright nasty with you because you're trying to just give them some truth about what's happening within the Christian world. The only good thing about this is it just tells me that we're closer to the end, because what I see happening, the only way we could have a one world religion, which is going to happen in the end, is for the church mass to be deceived. Because it's happening right before our eyes. Just go back and listen to the messages. The interfaith movement is growing every day. More and more efforts are getting to combine churches with very different doctrinal beliefs into one, saying we're brothers when we're not. You're either of your father, the devil, as Jesus said, or our father is Jehovah, Yahweh. One or the other. We're not all brothers and sisters. No matter how much the world says that we got to stand around, hold hands, and just love everybody to death, and there's nothing wrong with loving everybody to death, but there is such thing in the Bible that we are not to tolerate pagan practices. We are to come out from among them. We're to be separate. We're to be the light. God never says merge with them and become like them. The command in Scripture is to come out from them and then influence them by your light. Instead, what we're doing is we're being influenced by the darkness. That's just the simple truth. And if the truth hurts, well, maybe it should. Maybe it should. Yoga is a spiritual exercise. An article from Let Us Reason website titled Yoga is Today's Lifestyle for Health stated that yoga is an intrinsic part of Hinduism, as quoted by Swami Vishnuvananda, I think. Long name. A well-known authority of yoga who said in his book, The Complete Illustrated Book of Yoga, he explains the purpose of yoga. It's the duty of each individual man to train his body to the highest degree of perfection so that it may be used to pursue spiritual purposes. The aim of all yoga practice is to achieve truth, wherein the individual soul identifies itself with the supreme soul of God. In the Hindu philosophy, it is taught that the ultimate reality is consciousness or energy. That's the God, that's the Brahman thing. Each individual soul has seven energy centers known as chakras in the body that run along the spinal column. By opening up these energy centers, aligning these chakras for the energy to merge with the ultimate cosmic energy, Shakti, we explained that already, and to experience Brahman, oneness with the God within. The article went on to say yoga cannot be renamed. There is no Christian yoga. It was quite astonishing to see, this is so, Yogi Bhama Prem said this, it was quite astonishing to see on the flyer Christian yoga this Thursday night. I could feel the wheels spinning in my brain. Christian yoga, I thought. Now, while Christians can practice yoga, I'm not aware of any Christian teachings about yoga. Yoga is not part of the Judeo-Christian word. It is not a part of the Roman Catholic teachings, and certainly not a part of Protestant teachings. It's not found within the King James Version of the Bible. It is a Hindu word, or more correctly, a Sanskrit word from the Vedic civilization. So how did we get Christian yoga? That's a good question. How did we get Christian yoga? The devil
He does such a good job into making us think the wrong things. And you know what? We should not have and I know it's hard, and I struggle with this. I don't want to be condescending to anybody. I'm not saying anybody is foolish or anything. I have to say the word deceived because that is true. But how many of us could easily have been deceived into these things had it not been for the Word of God? Had it not been for the Word of God? And even people who read their Bible are being fooled. We don't want anybody to think they're foolish or dumb. We just want people to see the truth. We just need to do everything we can. This yogi went on to say this. From this, I could conclude that Christian yoga could only indicate one of two possibilities. One, Christianity is threatened by yoga and is attempting to take over the system that invaded their turf pertaining to spiritual teachings and techniques. And two, Christianity is subconsciously attempting to return to the spiritual roots of civilization, the Vedic civilization. You see, there's such thing as a church testimony. And while the church can't see it, the Hindus do. The Hindus do. Now you think about this, okay? They're appalled that Christians are swiping their Hindu religion and trying to label it Christian, and then you're going to go tell them about Jesus? You see what a negative effect that has? As I said earlier, it's so clear that the Hindus could see what the Christians are doing, but the Christians can't. The Christians can't. I want to finish with this last article because I have a lot more to say, and I won't have time to do it today. We'll conclude this series next week as we continue with the dangers involved in this practice, and we need to hear this, that this is nothing to fool with. And some other questionable practices that are happening under the umbrella of Christianity and churches that I want to talk about for a little while. And then we're going to conclude with, what do we do? What do we do? You've got all this information. What do we do? I want to finish with this last email that came from a Hindu academy to Lighthouse Trails. This is what it said. Is yoga a religion that denies Jesus Christ? Yes. Just as Christianity denies the Hindu Mahadevas, that's the Hindu gods, such as Shiva, Vishnu, Durga, Krishna, to name a few. Hinduism and its many yogas have nothing to do with Jesus, though we do respect that others believe in this way. As Hindus who live the yogic lifestyle, we appreciate when others understand that all of yoga is all about the Hindu religion. Modern so-called yoga is dishonest to Hindus and to all non-Hindus, such as the Christians. As I said before, how is it they could see it and the church doesn't? Is it folks are not reading the Bible? I think so. I think so. I can't stress enough the importance of knowing the Word of God. Knowing the Word of God. Because this is the only way you could find out if you're being fooled or not. This is the authority. This is it. God breathed. God inspired. This is the canon. Nothing's to be added. Nothing's to be subtracted. Nothing is to be changed. If anyone tells you something, this is good, this is what we're doing, you need to do a little research on your own. I try to bring all these elements to the church, but I can't cover every single thing that's happening out there. You need to eat for yourself. You understand? I can't eat for you. You need to read this book. You need to know it. And when you know this book, you will know if somebody's given you something that does not line up with this book, that you are to have nothing to do with it. Doesn't matter where it comes from, how popular it may be. Because you and me, we're going to have to answer to God. Not for our sins. If you're truly saved, if you are really born again, we will all stand before the Bema seat, the judgment seat of Christ, and we will give an answer for our deeds that will determine our rewards in heaven. And I believe there's going to be a lot of eyebrows raised in heaven when folks find out that maybe they weren't as spiritual as they should have been or thought they were. A Christian who doesn't want to hear the truth or at least listen to something from Scripture should be ashamed of themselves. I don't care who they are. They should be ashamed of themselves. If we could back up what we say through Scripture, then we need to tread very carefully. If it doesn't line up with Scripture, push it aside. There is no such thing as Christian yoga. Thank God for people like Carol who realized that. And even though it meant that she was going to lose her livelihood or could lose her livelihood, you know what I admire about you, Carol, is that you didn't put money before honoring God. Never put money before honoring God. What does the Scripture say? He who honors me, him will I honor. He who honors me, him will I honor. Would you pray with me? Father, I am so grateful for the Word of God. I am so grateful that we can know the truth. And that truth will truly set us free. Lord God, the Bible is all we need. It's your letter to us, Lord. It's your instruction. It encourages us. It corrects us. It teaches us. We get to know about you. We get to know about ourselves. We get to know what we shouldn't be involved in and what we should be involved in. And I thank you and praise you, Lord, for the churches who are standing up for the truth and will not give in to popular demand. And yes, there are many churches in this country and many believers in this country who simply will not yield. And I praise you for them. And Father, I pray for those who are following these Eastern practices, who are being led astray. I pray that you open their eyes, open their hearts. Lord God, in my studies, when I saw what could happen to these people who do practice these things, even innocently, it's horrific and spiritually dangerous. I pray for the church, Lord. Please open the church's eyes. Father, I want to thank you also as we take our offering this morning. I just want to thank you for the way in which you have provided everything we need in this church, Lord. You have been so faithful since the day this church started. You have never missed a beat. You've been faithful with the building project. You've been faithful with every other thing we need to do, Lord. And I sincerely thank you and pray that the leaders of this church would use the money you bring into the storehouse wisely. And I thank you for all of the people who give. So, Lord God, help us to honor you. Help us to follow the truth of Scripture, Lord, to stand on that truth, to be the beacons, the light. You tell us, let your light so shine that they may see your good works and glorify your heavenly Father. That's a good thing to pray for, Lord. Help us to be that light. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.